One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello everyone, welcome back to the What Culture Gaming podcast. My name is Rach, joined by lots of people today. We have Rich Hudson.
Hello.
Hello, we have Ash Millman.
Hello.
And Jules Gill.
Hello.
Welcome everyone. Those of you who have been following the gaming channel coverage may have guessed about what this is about. We were all at EGX last weekend. EGX, previously named Eurogamer Expo, is a nice little convention where game developers, big and small, can come together, show us some games that are already out, but more importantly, games that are coming out soon. So we check that out, and we've got a little awards ceremony today because it was just such a lovely time, to coin Ash Millman's favorite phrase. It was a lovely time, and we just want to spotlight a few games that just really stayed with us. Without further ado, the first award, ladies and gents, goes to the best display / booth.
Right, okay.
So obviously, I don't know if there was any that sort of stuck with you guys that stood out as being particularly good displays.
Ooh, I think all of them were really well put together. There was lots that had lots of like different people wandering around them in costume. There was some that had like good big setups and the big cutouts and all that sort of thing. PlayStation in particular had a great setup. Like all of their games had really nice interactive sides to them. Like the PlayStation VR booth in particular, I thought was really well laid out. It had all of the booths, so you could watch people doing their VR madness from the outside, which was
the best thing. They couldn't see you, obviously, because they were in the VR world. So it was just kind of like, I've got some footage of you and Rich, obviously, trying out the things. And the best thing was is that when you were playing Iron Man VR, obviously, the guy next to you was just like, right, you don't have to turn all the way around. You can just use the mouse to like flick through to change angle. And you're like, doo, 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 doo.
I was getting trapped in the wire, like, slowly.
He was literally just like,
I thought the opposite when I finished it. The guy just like, as soon as the title at the end was like, you've just played Iron Man VR, the guy just took my headphones off and it made me jump. I'm back. And it was like, should I have been like actually turning around on the spot? Yeah. Because I was only using the snap turning. Mm-hmm. And it's like, do I look a Muppet by like just standing on the spot and pressing buttons rather than moving my head?
If it makes you feel any better, no one looks cool doing VR stuff. Yeah. Even when you're playing games like Beat Saber, and in your world, you're like,
we saw enough people play Beat Saber.
When you actually watch it, it's just kind of like, oh dear.
See, that gets my vote for just watching people be ridiculous the whole time. Like, that was good. Beat Saber people in particular.
Free entertainment, isn't it?
Yeah.
I also thought that the stand that Cake Bash had was really
cute,
good as well.
Yeah. It was just because it had coat sinks little area.
Yeah, they had like the big sort of area with the deck chairs and like a sort of mini beach
you
with
just
the little
like
things.
Jumping in that pie?
They had a paddling. It's not a paddling pool. They made very clear that it wasn't. It was a pie dish, and I got involved in that, and I was underneath the crust, which was definitely not a duvet.
Disgusting.
And I definitely
disgusting.
What?
You said you got all involved in the pine garden underneath the crust.
Listen, man, that's up to you. That you're making that dirty, not me. I was just chilling out there with a finger in a strawberry.
So, Rich Hudson, was there any displays this
time? Doom got sort of my vote for this, which I will expand on in a bit for certain things, but just the queue line had things like all of the special edition stuff was in a cabinet. They had the helmet, they had all the stuff from that. They showed off some merch you could buy at EGX, which I didn't realise was a thing. Thank you to people who queued for telling me that they had coins.
Yeah.
That I spent a tenner on, but it was totally worth it.
Oh, I got a coin.
Sounds good. So our nominations for the best display / booth at EGX were The Avengers, which was incredible. Final Fantasy VII, of course, we had the Buster Sword, which was 7 kilograms we could hold. Photos of that going about Twitter. Doom, like Rich was saying, and the PSVR booth, like Ash was saying, and the winner is the Avengers. So we all agreed on this, right?
Yes, we did. Yes. Yeah. We were basically blown away when we walked through the event floor, and it was just kind of like rising out of the distance with this like monolith thing. Unfortunately, it did say Virgin, which I feel is a bit harsh to the people who were attending that event. But I did notice afterwards that it was actually Virgin, like Richard Branson's space exploration vehicle, like company, and he's personally apparently sponsoring the Avengers. But the best thing was is when you went round into the booth itself, you could see that they had movie props, they had stuff from like they'd recreated all of the costumes and stuff like that. There was a massive bronze statue of Cap, which obviously for people who are going to get their hands on and know of the events of A-Day will know that it's like a monument to him dying at the end. Yeah, I know it's not a spoiler, definitely
it's
in the trailers.
It was just incredible. Totally blew us away. So definitely best display / booth at EGX goes to the Avengers.
Yep, definitely.
For sure. The second award we'd like to dish out is for the best demo experience. So what comes to your mind, guys, when we say best demo?
I want to say that it's going on to the Avengers again because of the fact that we got to play the Behind the Closed Doors special one, which was, there was two demos on the show floor, which was the A-Day, which allowed you to play as all of the Avengers in the lead up to the breakup of the Avengers, and also we got to play with Scott Amos himself. That sounds a bit strange, but alongside him, we got to play a demo as Kamala Khan, aka Miss Marvel, and we got to do a Harm Room wave challenge where it was 15 waves of like arena battling, and it was amazing. It was really nice because not only was it a great game to play, but we got to actually like see the passion and the like creative development stuff going in behind it as well, which just made me feel more excited about the game.
That was a truly great experience, unfortunately one that was sort of exclusive to us, to a few members of the press, which was amazing. Thanks again for letting us do that. But obviously, like, you couldn't just, your average Tom, Dick and Harry couldn't just wander into that from the shop floor. So,
but to be fair, it's not like they didn't get a bad demo, because watching people playing the A-Day stuff, like, they're obviously going to start the game putting their best foot forward, and it looked fantastic. Like the ability to switch, like albeit at different set pieces, switching between the Avengers and carrying on through the level looked amazing. It's so good.
I love that. What came to your mind, Ash?
Ring Fit is what I enjoyed. It's like a demo experience because that just lends itself to being a demo, doesn't it? Like where you've got a ring that you then have to get fit with, and it makes you just like squeeze it and do all your push-ups and do like your dancing and stuff. Like it's teetering between I hate this so much and I really enjoyed it, because like obviously it's making me exercise at a games convention, which was not like the best of things, but it was a really fun game and a really fun demo. And I think that the way that they did it and had all your little booths again set up so everyone could laugh at you doing things wrong,
sort of in the same way that you were saying before about the PSVR being great. So it's like, I guess it's the exhibitionism of it. Is that a word? Exhibitionism?
I mean, that isn't that where people just go to naked beaches? Yes.
Okay, so okay, but in a games convention kind of stuff.
Also, shout out to the guy who was seeing us through our demo over Ring Fit. It was really a really lovely bloke. Sold the game very well, so much so that I have bought it. And I am playing
Nice.
And trust me, what we played on the show floor, Ash, is like, it was chopped into thirds. Like the number of reps you have to do when you're in the battle has absolutely killed me.
Jeez.
But it's like, this is working. Therefore, as you said, I don't like it, but I also do. I'm going to get fit, guys.
Coming up soon, Buff Rich.
Yeah. Get ripped.
Be like Always Sunny, like Mac getting through
ripped Hudson here.
But I would love to just, you come in and be like, oh, what's your secret, man? Is it diet? So it's like, oh, it's Ring Fit.
It's in the video games.
I played video games so much I got fit.
What about you, Rich?
For me, I said I'd expand on it, Doom Eternal's whole experience was incredible. The queue itself, obviously, it had all the stuff to look at. It wasn't just like with a bit of rope and you were doing nothing. It was a lot of stuff to look at. And when you actually got into the event, they went all out. And even just the way they did the demos just felt made a lot of sense. They gave you a certain chunk of time inside the booth because it was all walled off because it's over at 18. You're tearing demons to bits and there's kids running about.
Mm-hmm.
But when you got in there, they started playing at Doom's Gate, the theme from Doom 2016, the bit when he cocks the shotgun at the end. He plays that theme, all the lights start flashing, and then it's like the demonic slayer has entered and demonic presence at unsafe levels. You hear the voiceover say it, and then you can start playing the demo, and then at the end of it a big klaxon would go off, Doomsgate would start playing again, and then they'd ferry you out. But they were just like, you want the whole Doom experience, you want to hear Mick Gordon really loud, we'll do that.
That's what the klaxon was.
That was the klaxon. and
that got annoying.
It did get annoying because I thought it was going from the Street Fighter stage that was next door to the Doom booth, but no,
so
it was
too.
Actually inside the Doom booth that they were playing the klaxon. But they went all out with this. They're like, okay, the demo's over, but we're gonna see you out with a bang.
It also had the voiceover just kind of like, the Doom Slayer has entered. Yeah. So you're just kind of like, that's me for the next 10 minutes.
But no, that whole experience was fantastic, and of course, the game itself was absolutely phenomenal. Yeah.
Amazing. So those were very, very good nominations. I agree with all of them. But we're going to have to give this one to Doom Eternal as the best demo at EGX 2019.
It was just so much fun.
Shame about the 3-hour queue.
we'll talk about that later.
We'll talk about that in a bit.
Worth it though, right?
Absolutely worth it.
I don't know. Next award is for the most unexpected title. So something you went into the event not expecting to, maybe you've never even heard of it, or something you never even thought you would like. So our nominations for this. I'm going to kick this one off and I'm going to introduce a Thomas Chef because we were hanging around Team 17's booth because we all flipping love Team 17, playing some Overcooked and all that. And one of the lovely assistants was like, oh, hey, the guy that made this game is around the corner here. Do you want to go and chat to him? I was like, sure. So I met the developer who made Thomas Chef and I was playing this game. It looks like Factorio, which I never thought I would like, but I think just because it has food in it. That's why I liked it. So yeah, that really blew me away. That was great. It's like a puzzle game. It basically Factorio with food. So yeah, shout out to a Thomas Chef.
Sounds good. I mean, I don't like Factorio. Like, it's not for me. It's not for me because of the fact that if I'm going to micromanage something, it might as well be my own life. I need to get that in order before I can try and figure out what's going on. I mean, I definitely thought that there were a lot of interesting games out there. We were talking about one that was Table Manners, where you got to, it's basically like Surgeon Simulator, but on a date. That was very fun. But the one that I think that Rich and I were blown away with was Boundary, because of the fact that we weren't, we knew nothing.
We knew
about
nothing
it.
Of this. We just walked past it and thought, "Oh, this looks cool." So we came back and
tried
it a bit later.
Because I'd heard no press bits about it whatsoever. And when we went past, we were like, "Is that Call of Duty but in space?" And when
but not like Infinite Warfare in space. No. It's like literally how you would think like gunplay in space would be as an astronaut in a big bulky suit and spinning, having like full 360 XYZ axis of movement plus first person shooting. It's like, this is a recipe made in heaven. Like, oh my word, let's try this.
The graphics look great, didn't they?
Yeah, but the reason why I hadn't heard of it is because it's a game made by a Chinese dev and originally it was only going to be released in China, and then a publisher just kind of went, we'll have this. And I think that's the first thing we'd ever seen of it at EGX, and we gave it a go for about, you know, 5-10 minutes, and it was actually really quite something.
Yeah, I think that it was when we just started playing it, we were like, okay, cool, regular control system, instantly get to grips with it. Mm-hmm. But then as soon as they were like, oh, you can use like a grapple hook system to pull your guy through the space.
I remember you trying to find the grapple hook.
Oh, I was annoyed. It was a bit confusing.
The hood was very like cluttered because it was trying to be like all very spacey and stuff. But even then, just using your shoulder buttons to rotate left, like, it literally, I can't remember what axis it would be, like the yaw, that's the word.
Yeah.
Like you're rotating around that and it's literally like full 360 degrees of movement and people floating about everywhere. It's absolutely ridiculous. It was weirdly like fast to keep up with, but the gameplay itself was kind of slow. It gave you enough time to work stuff out. Like on paper, like that sounds like an absolute mess to try and get your head around, but in practice it was actually really good fun.
I also found it kind of terrifying as well, because you're battling in space and I was like keeping very close to the walls of the space station that was destroyed that we were fighting through, because I ventured out by accident when I was trying to figure out where the hook shot stuff was, and I just was going into the horrible void of space and like, oh, I don't like this, I've got to go back. Oh no, I don't like this at all.
That sounds great. Ash, what stood out to you?
The one that I ended up playing the most.
Hey, it was a good game.
I get sucked into like addictive mobile games so easily. So I saw this one, I was like, oh, I'll give that a go. I was like, I need to play this all the time now, which was Cat Tap, the updated 2.0 version. And I played that a lot. It's literally just slapping plates up a table as a cat and then dressing it up in bows. And I had a whale of a time playing that. So unexpected title. So I was there like, oh, let's play all these AAA games. Let's look at all this wonderful game footage. I'm so excited to be at Video Game Central. I was like, oh, mobile game, like tap, tap, tap. Like, that.
Because of course, you and I were obviously, we were checking out what was going to be at the event before we went. And we noticed there was like a lot of cat games. And we were like, well, we're going to go check out all the cat games.
Yeah.
And then, oh, Ash found our new favorite game. Also, while we were at the sort of indie kind of area, we did play a little bit of Cake Bash as well. We did a video on this on our gaming channel. You guys should check it out because the game just looks so cute and fun. It looks basically like What is it? Gang Beasts?
It's Gang Beasts. Kinda? It's Gang Beasts meets Power Stone meets Cake Batter. Like, it's so cutesy. Mm-hmm. But the gameplay, I don't know if... I mean, you guys are too young to remember this, aren't you?
I've not played Power Stone.
You've never played Power Stone.
I know that you love it, but I've not played it.
Jesus Christ.
It's kind of like a... It's almost like a Mario Party minigame where you are beating the crap out of each other, but you are Kate. Yeah. That's probably the best way to put it.
It's just great fun because, I mean, like, the minigames that we had on offer, we had, like, destroy the
fortune cookies.
We had throw the plums in the pie thing, which is
great. Yourself in sweets. Mm.
The best thing was, is that, like, you know... going up against those kids and them just not bringing their A game, absolutely embarrassing them, and they were just kind of like, oh, I don't know if I like this game. I was like, yeah, you know why you don't like this game? Because life has just come along and crushed you.
I think the best thing about Cake Bash was the fact that it looks like it is for kids. It is very accessible for a younger audience, which is good, but then we, of course, four grown adults, ended up really enjoying it, which I thought was lovely.
Yeah.
So those are our four nominees, and the winner, I think, if you didn't guess from how long we talked about it, is going to go to Boundary for this one. Most unexpectedly incredible title at EGX.
So I hope that it carries on and lives up to what we played, because if they don't put enough maps out for it or any sort of support for it, then it will be a shame to see this one just get sort of swept under the rug. But what they have here is a good mechanical
low
game.
Low-key, quite quiet. Mm-hmm. But hopefully things might pick up. We might see it at an event soon, because I think it's releasing in the first quarter of next year, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah.
So. Well, that sounds good to me. Do you know what else sounds good? Is video game music.
Nice.
So,
good segue there.
That works on so many levels. Like...
So, what did we think from
it? Sound good?
Two.
Just let me have it. Okay?
No, I'm not criticizing it. Just like Ash is blown away. She's in space, wanted to come back.
Video game music. Was there any games, demos that sort of stood out to you guys as having incredible music at EGX?
I don't need to expand on it. Doom.
Doom?
Yeah.
Doom.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
The music in Doom is heavier it's than Doom. The 2016 yeah. one. It's insane.
It's Mick Gordon just, I don't know, beating his guitar up with a chainsaw.
Sounds that's great. Good to me.
That's love all that I need man. To say. It's fantastic.
When we queued up and we played the Final Fantasy VII remake, that was...
Oh, my God.
The music in that was amazing because it felt that they were definitely playing it like close to the nostalgic need.
It is
of the
very
audience.
Much the exact same original soundtrack, but with obviously a bit more finesse.
Yeah,
on it.
Yeah, it just because obviously you're adapting it from. It sounded like they did a run of orchestral things. They did like a Final Fantasy concert in Japan that toured for a while.
Yeah.
I feel like. What the lessons learned from the conversion to that have been taken forward because they've added in a few sort of like other elements. There's still that sting of electronica underneath it, but it's definitely feels much more real and professional than maybe the first one did because that was all synths, obviously.
And then from like a demo point of view, sitting there with my Sony headset on that was up way too loud that I could not figure out how to get the volume down.
We could hear it and it was just kind of like, and the woman next to you was kind of like,
I was so into it though, obviously like now I have tinnitus, but it was worth it. But it was like, it was so loud in my ears and I was just so there for this boss fight. It was so epic.
Yeah,
loved
it was great.
It. Yeah, oh, good shout. Definitely agree with that one. Another one that had obviously a well-established soundtrack that they have modernized and changed for a new title was, of course, Pokemon. You gotta love Pokemon. Pokemon always has a really, really great soundtrack. And Sword and Shield had a lovely little tune for the water gym that I played through and also had a lovely little battle tune when we were playing the boss fight. The boss fights in Pokemon are pretty epic, as I said in the main video. So yeah. Pokemon!
I think for music as well, it has to be shouted out to Cyberpunk for having the most... thumping like dubstep bass.
The bass.
Oh my God. We sat in the, it's like a big demo room that they like constructed themselves. So you go inside, you sit down, it's like a cinema, you watch someone play the game for you as they like talk through all the different options. And it was like, I got in there, we got in there and we sat down and we're like, oh yes, it's lovely. And suddenly it just started going, boom. And it didn't stop for like 45 minutes, just like, boom. Like you're just walking through a city like, oh hey, what's up guys? Boom. Like, so it was really good, but also I was a bit overwhelming. I was feeling it in my chest. I was like, please Cyberpunk.
The game's first person and we were in the front row just like,
yeah. Actually next it up back going like the whole time.
But isn't that like the best thing that they can say? They're just like, yeah, we our game was so good it kind of like debilitated the audience.
Socks off.
Yeah.
Literally it
was awesome.
They were off the ceiling, honestly. Yeah.
Oh my God. I mean, they were all pretty good, but I think with this one, best music for EGX demo, it's got to go to Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, I mean, it ticked all the boxes, really. A modernization of a classic. Fantastic.
It was brilliant. Next award goes to the best multiplayer title that we all tried. There were quite a lot of indie games there, and they tend to be the best multiplayer games, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Don't shoot me down. The indie games are the best. So... what comes to mind? What was the best multiplayer game? Because you guys played a few, right?
Yeah, I think the one that we instantly were drawn to, because Jules has been speaking about for a while, was Moving Out. And
damn
that was great.
Right.
We love Team 17, baby.
Damn
and,
right.
And we went and played Moving Out, and that was fantastic. That was where you literally just move things out of your house into the moving truck. And all
doesn't
sorts
sound entertaining,
no,
does it?
No, all sorts of havoc. Well, you say overcooked, and you're like, oh, are you just cooking up some meals for some hungry customers?
There was a lot of pivoting.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
Oh
my God, that's what you shouted for all of it. Pivot! It's good though.
It's a fantastic game because it's incredibly well made, and it just shows that once you get a simple premise for an indie game, if you can execute that well, then you're going to have a smash hit on your hands. They've already got Overcooked 2 out, the DLC that's coming out for it, they know they're onto a winner with that. Moving Out seems like the perfect sort of like sideways transition because it's less stressful but at the same time much like equally chaotic.
Yeah.
Can anything go on fire in Moving Out?
Not that we had, but you could have chairs that were haunted so they ran away from you and then they would put them into the move van and they'd reanimate themselves and run back out again. So you're like, get back here, you wooden prick.
More stressful than your rice catching fire. Do you know what wasn't stressful though?
Go on then.
Oh, these segues today. It was Cat Quest 2. So I don't know if any of you have played Cat Quest.
Not at all.
It came out a couple years back and it was on like the PS4 and I picked it up and I went, what is this? It has cats. I'm gonna buy it. It was like a tenner.
Right.
And I gave it a chance and it is this little like 5 to 6 hour game that is an RPG. You're a cat with a sword and magic and it's just delightful. It's wonderful. It's like proper spam the Y button gameplay, but it's just so cute and full of cat puns. So when the sequel was announced, not long after the first one came out, I've been waiting patiently for it, and I finally got to try it at EGX, and I was so happy just to see it there in its own little booth, and I was like, Cat Quest 2! It's so good. It's multiplayer now, so you can play the cat, your pal can play the dog, and you can go about the country. Ash was the dog.
I was the dog.
And it's just delightful. You can build, you can have different kind of builds now. You can concentrate on magic or on combat, and it was just, I just loved it. It was wholesome. Cat Quest 2.
Well, I got the chance to play a title I've been looking forward to for, I would say 25 years, but I'm not even 25 years old.
Disgusting.
But, I'm sorry.
But is that how long it's been?
Yeah. Between Streets of Rage 3 and Streets of Rage 4, because similar to the original trilogy, Streets of Rage is a co-op game that you can play co-op, and I dragged Ash onto it, who's never played Streets of Rage before, but I was like, come and play this, please, I'm really excited.
I was everyone's like multiplayer pal, I was like, hey guys.
Streets of Rage 4 was everything I wanted it to be. It's just, let's do more of the same of Streets of Rage 2, and it's like, cool, that's me sold. It's one of the best games, it's one of the best side-scrolling brawlers ever made.
Yep, agree.
Just give me more of that, and playing through stage 6 or something we played.
I think it was.
We got all the way through it, all the way to the boss fight, and we played together. They still have the horrendous friendly fights, the amount of time that Ash and I were kicking at each other.
Yeah,
it was bad.
It's interesting because you don't really see that genre really explored much these
days. No, side-scrolling brawlers have died a quite a sad death because sometimes they can be annoying. I know Scott personally doesn't like them because of the whole, you have to be exactly on the right plane to get stuff. And there were points during our gameplay where we did have that, but obviously they've made it so after all these years of knowing the series well, the devs have like, okay, we can widen it a bit so stuff connects more. So.
Yeah, fair enough.
But yeah, it played exactly as I remember it. And just, I'm so excited for it. We still don't know when it's coming out. I'm assuming next year.
It looks nearly done. Like
It looks very, very well polished. Like, it all looks very hand-drawn, art style versus the pixel style, which I'm fine with. I like the idea of it going from pixel to hand-drawn.
Yeah, it kind of makes sense.
Pixel would have still made me happy. But yeah, Streets of Rage 4 is fantastic. I'm so looking forward to playing that with whoever I'll drag onto it. Ash, let's play.
Yeah, nice.
Let's play more.
I had a great time. It's really fun. Like, it's sorts of power-ups and different, like, moves that you can do. Like, you can spend your health to do, like, fighting moves and all that sort of thing. It was very much from what you were saying, it was very much like the old brought into the new, and it felt really good as someone new to it as well. I wasn't like, oh, what's going on? It was good, like it was entertaining. Yeah.
Mr. Gill?
I've already said mine. I said Cake Bash, I guess, is Moving Out was one I would say is probably the best multiplayer that I played, but Cake Bash was very, very fun as well as a... I mean, you can't really go wrong because it's just like the amount of sort of violence all contained in such a cutesy package. But
I think, like we were saying before, I think with Cake Bash it is the accessibility of it. It's really good to see something that people like us can take really seriously and that kids can just pick up and spam the A button and still have a good time playing. So we're going to give Best Multiplayer Game to Cake Bash for that reason.
Nice.
Plus, the guys that made it are local and big up the Northeast.
literally out the window where they make this game, which is absolutely ridiculous.
The next award's a bit of a banter pick, I must admit, but I mean, we did a lot of queuing at EGX. We could have done more. It could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
What was the best queuing experience that you guys had? Mine was Pokemon. There was a Smash Bros tournament on behind me and everyone playing, and it was terrible. Everyone was terrible at the game, and I was standing watching it, like getting angrier and angrier, like, oh, why, just press the B button, please. So Pokemon for me.
For me, the lack thereof of queuing, as I said earlier, about the 3.5 hour Doom queue, and just walking straight in the back door with the head of PR and everyone going, oh, I see how it is. You can just walk in, can you? Play Doom.
Yes,
we can.
Cheesy man.
Yes, we can.
The vibe killer has entered the room. Like, it was like one of those things.
Mine was the PlayStation app, because you can just book in and go ahead again, so no queuing. That was literally
Hashtag not sponsored.
Give me my slot.
Speaking of your slot, that actually this leads me to my funny one, which is there was a couple that were waiting in the queue a little bit further back from us, and I overheard them say, like, oh, look,
which queue? Which queue?
It was a queue for Luigi's Mansion. There was a couple that watched you over with the camera,
you were
recording
Rich.
Ring
fit.
They were like, oh, it's Ash from Mort Culture, and the one of the partners said, like, oh, who's that again? And then there was like a pause, you could hear them like whisper. And she was like, oh, yes, she's on your list, isn't she? And like, I'm just there, like about 5 or 6 people in front, and I'm just kind of like wearing the What Culture gaming hoodie, and I'm like turning away, like, oh no. And he like sees me and looks at me and makes like, oh god. Like, I was like, so yeah, there we go.
Shout out to that guy. Hey.
Okay, best queuing experience, definitely Luigi's Mansion.
Yes,
next award is for the most unconventional gaming experience that you've had. Now, Ash, I know, has something to say about this. this one.
Yes, there was loads of good stuff. There was Ring Fit, obviously, for its Ring Fit unconventional ring. There was Mamo Castle that also needs a big shout out because they had like a pheromone that you
pheromone. Pheromone is the smell.
They play a pheromone that you stick your hand in and you do with your hand, and it makes the cat. It's like a big nyan cat that you control with your hand, and they have to make fists.
And
you can fist the nyan cat.
This has gone south.
Let's stop this now.
Yeah, but no, that's what I'm saying. Like you pheromone it, and you control it with your hand. I thought it was really cool. I was gone about it for ages because I think it was a really nifty idea, and it really worked well for that style. But the one that we need to give the biggest shout out to for unconventional, and that was a highlight of our weekend, and that we were really excited for, and lived up to all the expectations, was the dark room with John.
Yes, awake to find yourself in a dark room.
Honestly,
all just fell off when you did that.
Honestly, he's like one of the nicest people as well. Yeah, like the fact that he like can command a room with that sort of level of comedy and energy, and you can tell that he's been doing stand-up comedy for years, and you can tell that he's got so much passion in that.
For those of you who have never heard of The Dark Room and John Robertson's incredible text adventure meets real life sort of comedy show, it's basically you, if you've ever played like a text adventure game, you tend to have four options, you pick an option, and you probably die in horrendous ways. So it's literally him up on the stage presenting it, giving an audience member, Jules Gill was an audience member, and it four options, seemingly like you think, oh, well, I'm in a dark room, find the light switch. And he goes, how will you find the how will you find the light switch? You're in the dark. And of course, like, it's just really, it's a comedy show.
Yeah, I mean, he based the entire thing off of the aggravating nature of text-based adventure games when you didn't type things in exactly as the developer wanted to and usually punished you badly for it. So yeah, it was really fun.
So yeah, big shout out to the dark room. You win our award for most amazingly unconventional video game at EGX. Last but not least, after playing all these demos and doing all these experiences, what is your most anticipated game after EGX?
Moving out. Honestly, I know that we have the AAA games like out there that were like amazing, but there's nothing gave me as much joy as playing Moving Out, because of the fact that I was like, this is a game for me and friends to gather around on the couch and just play and have a really good time.
And then move the couch afterwards.
Exactly. And to be fair, it was just really well made. It's so polished. It's Team 17 through and through. Had lovely little bits of comedy. I cannot praise this game enough. I feel like in what it sets out to achieve, it's perfect in its delivery.
Amazing.
I'm just going to completely just go against what Jules has just said and be like, yeah, I'm going to go AAA. I'm going to go single player. Yeah. And yeah, for me, it was Doom. Yeah. I was obsessing over that over the weekend. The highlight of my life playing Eternal like this early. It was so good. I'm just super excited for it. That's all. It fills me with joy, and it's going to keep me going. I've gone back to 2016 now. I'm playing through that again. So I'm just super hyped for it.
Not at all disappointed it got a little delay.
Nope.
Because, of course, you got to play it last weekend.
Yeah. I mean, it's disappointing things get delayed, but at the end of the day, it's for the right reasons. So I'm fine with that. Yeah, Doom for me.
I think one thing we should mention that we were anticipating that was at the show but didn't actually manage to, like, we didn't get anything new for it, was Death Stranding, which is why we haven't covered it as much, because it's just the same sort of stuff that we've already seen. So we are all excited for that, but for me personally would be Cyberpunk again in the AAA game, because I'm so excited for that anyway, and then seeing the demo I was like, oh my god, and then having the reverberating noise travel through my body, I was like, I'm there, I'm in Night City. So yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
We're going to know when you've picked up the game, because you're going to come in the next day just like completely like comatose, like really stiff, like, sorry, my bones have been shaken loose.
Booed to death.
Mine is, of course, another gigantic franchise, and it's Pokemon.
Fair enough.
Do you know what? Like, if anything, because I'm more excited for it because the demo was so short and I completed it so quickly that I'm just like, more Pokemon, please. Yeah. I did get to Dynamax my Wooloo, though, and that was glorious.
Again, that sounds so dirty.
It's a sheep.
Yeah. I have a missus from Wales. You know what they do.
So that was our EGX little award show for today. Thank you so much. Let us know what you thought in the comments below if you're watching on YouTube, and just stay listening if you're listening on the podcast listening
and
places.
In fact, if you're doing us a favor by getting to the end of this video, then why not give this a 5-star rating on whatever platform you are listening to it on. I don't know which platforms we're on half the time because it seems like they change every day.
Yeah. Acast, Spotify.
And if you're a sponsor looking to get some stuff out there, maybe you've listened to these games and thought, I'm making a game, I want to get some sponsorship, then get in touch with me, jules.gill@whatculture.com. Regret giving out my email immediately, actually.
Well,
send me foot pictures as well.
At @WCultureGaming on Twitter. And also, since we're talking about EGX stuff, if anyone came out to say hello to us during the event, it was honestly a pleasure to meet all of you. It was really, really nice to meet you and get a chance to chat to you, take pictures and stuff like that. It was honestly brilliant. That's probably the highlight of the whole weekend. Yeah. Aside from all the games, was getting to meet people. It was so good.
They Dynamaxed our Wooloo indeed.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Wow. On that note, thank you once again, everyone, for listening. You can follow me on Twitter if you like, at Don't Rage Quit. My name was Rach. I was joined by Rich.
You can follow me on Twitter at PickUpChangeToe.
And Ash.
Hello. Mine is at Ash Millman. Goodbye.
And you can follow me at RetroJ with a zero.
Can you tell it's lunchtime? We're off, guys. We will see you tomorrow. Have an awesome day. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. I started that wave voice. Yeah, ready. I know.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.